Let's read together Jeremiah 36. In this chapter, Jeremiah dictates his prophecies to his scribe, Baruch. These prophecies are then read before King Jehoiakim, who deliberately has a scroll cut up and burned. Jeremiah is then instructed to rewrite the prophecies which we have today here in the book of Jeremiah. Let's begin by reading the first 19 verses of this chapter. Now it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah, even to this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I propose to bring upon them, and everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called for Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote on a scroll of a book at the instruction of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am confined, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. You go, therefore, and read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction the words of the Lord, in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house on the day of fasting. And you shall also read them in the hearing of all Judah who come from their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against his people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading from the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Now it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, and in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem. Then Baruch read from the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the upper court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the hearing of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, heard all the words of the Lord from the book, he then went down to the king's house into the scribe's chamber, and there all the princes were sitting. Then Micaiah declared to them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the hearing of the people. Therefore all the princes sent to Baruch, saying, Take in your hand the scroll from which you have read in the hearing of the people, and come. So Baruch the son of Neriah took the scroll in his hand and came to them. And they said to him, Sit down now and read it in our hearing. So Baruch read it in their hearing. Now it happened when they had heard all the words that they looked in fear from one to another and said to Baruch, We will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, Tell us now, how did you write all these words at his instruction? So Baruch answered them, He proclaimed with his mouth all these words to me, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then the princes said to Baruch, Go and hide, you and Jeremiah, and let no one know where you are. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Jeremiah chapter 36, with some background notes. Ancient documents were written on either papyrus or parchment, and then rolled up and tied with cord, and then sealed with clay seals that had the name of the scribe or official stamped into it. These clay seals, which are found by archaeologists today, are called bulla. The singular is bulla. B-U-L-L-A. In the ruins of ancient Jerusalem, dating to this time, are a number of bulla, and three of the names here in Jeremiah chapter 36 are found among these clay seals and can be seen in the Israel Museum today. Baruch, the son of Neriah, Jeremiah's scribe, verse 4. Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, verse 10. And Jeremiah, verse 26, the king's son, probably meaning he was a member of the king's royal court. Again, we see archaeology supporting the biblical record. We see in verse 1 that the setting for the events in this chapter is the fourth year of King Jehoiakim. This would be the year 605 BC. Now, this is an important year in Old Testament history, 605 BC. This was the year that Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon defeated the Egyptian forces at the Battle of Carchemish. This was the year that Nebuchadnezzar made his move against Judah, which resulted in the first deportation of captives to Babylon. At this time, Daniel and others of the nobility were taken into captivity, and King Jehoiakim became a vassal of Babylon. So it's at this time that Jeremiah is told by the Lord to write up his prophecies on a scroll, which he does, and then he sends Baruch up to the temple courts to read the prophecies in public. We see in verse 5 that Jeremiah does not go up himself because he was restricted from the temple courts, probably because of his scathing public sermons. It was on a day in which a fast before the Lord had been proclaimed, probably because of the continuing Babylonian threat. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Jeremiah chapter 36. Doctrine point number one, God's ways go beyond human expectations. God's ways go beyond human expectations. Verses 20 through 26. And they went to the king into the court, but they stored the scroll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the hearing of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to bring the scroll, and he took it from Elishama, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the hearing of the king, and in the hearing of all the princes who stood beside the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month, and a fire was burning on the hearth before him. And it happened when Jehudi had read three or four columns that the king cut it with a scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Deliah, and Gemariah implored the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them. And the king commanded Jeremiel, the king's son, to seize Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. When Jeremiah went to all this work of writing up all his prophecies, he was certainly hoping that the people would indeed listen and turn from their wicked ways and be saved from any further Babylonian invasions. These were his expectations. After all, the Lord himself had said in verse 3, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Now let me ask you, do you think that the Lord knew what the response of the king and the people would be? Of course he did. God knows everything. Ephesians 1:11 says that God works all things after the counsel of his will. All things means all things. Now, this does not mean that God caused Judah to reject Jeremiah's message and that God caused King Jehoiakim to cut up scripture and throw it into the fire. No, but God in his sovereign ways allowed the king and the people to exercise their wills and reject the offer. They were responsible to make the right choice, but they did not. And yet God was working his overall plans for Judah through all of this, both Judah's discipline in captivity and their future return. Jeremiah was hoping that the nation would repent at that time, but his hopes were dashed. But God's ways go beyond human expectations. Now, we all need to constantly remember this truth. Many times we have great expectations that our church is going to grow and our neighbors and colleagues at work are going to get saved, etc. The Lord would even encourage us to have these great expectations. Remember Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Call upon me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. But many times, things do not work out the way we had hoped and expected. Don't lose heart. God's ways go beyond human expectations. In Isaiah chapter 55, we have those well-known verses. Verses 8 and 9 of Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. God's ways go beyond human expectations. Doctrinal point number two. God's ways go beyond human efficiency. God's ways go beyond human efficiency. Verses 27 through 32. Now, after the king had burned the scroll with the words which Baruch had written at the instruction of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, take yet another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have no one to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out to the heat of the day and the frost of the night. I will punish him, his family, and his servants for their iniquity. Then Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote on it, at the instruction of Jeremiah, all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And besides, there were added to them many similar words. After King Jehoiakim burned the scroll, the Lord told Jeremiah to write the prophecies all over again. Now, how would you feel if you were Jeremiah at this point? Lord, this took a lot of time and effort. Are you sure this was the most efficient way to get the book of Jeremiah written? Couldn't King Jehoiakim have rejected the message without burning the scroll so that I wouldn't have to write it all over again? Well, we know the answer here, don't we? God's ways go beyond human efficiency. One result was that more of Jeremiah's prophecies were added to what was to become the book of Jeremiah that we have today. God's ways go beyond human efficiency. You know, this is as true today as it was in Jeremiah's day. We tend to think that the most efficient way of doing things is the fastest way and the simplest way and the most economical way. But this is not necessarily God's way. God's ways are beyond human efficiency. Now, we should always try to be efficient in the use of our time and talent and money. But let's not tie God's hands with the ropes of human efficiency. The Lord may purposely want us to take more time with certain people and expend more effort on certain projects and more money for certain needs. He may even want us to do something all over again, even though it seems so inefficient. Remember, God's ways go beyond human efficiency. Practical application from Jeremiah chapter 36. Let us not cut up the scripture, but let scripture cut us. Let us not cut up the scripture, but let scripture cut us. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. Back in King Josiah's day, when they found the law of God in the temple and read it before the king and the people repented of their ways, and there was a great revival. They let the scripture cut them, as with a surgeon's knife. Now, about 15 to 20 years later, King Jehoiakim hears the word of the Lord, and instead of letting the scripture cut him, he cut the scripture and tried to destroy it. You know, unbelievers have been doing the same thing ever since. They cut up the scriptures and take away from the word of God and question its authority and try to destroy it. Now, what about us? Do we question the authority of the word of God and pick and choose what we want to believe? Let us not cut up the scripture, but let scripture cut us.